You are listening to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Have you ever taken a spiritual inventory of your life? We're going to try that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we live with the resurrection right in the past, we're grateful that you're the living Lord, and that we're grateful that you walk with us every step of the way. So today we pray, O God, that as we study the life of that great man of Israel, the great man of God, King David, we may sense that as you were ever present with him, so you are anxious to walk in that same way with us. Feed us in your word. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fifth chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become my God.'" When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure
Friends in Christ, my life has been blessed during the last few days in the reading of a book entitled Leap Over a Wall by Eugene Peterson. It is a book that reflects on Israel's greatest leader, King David. The book confronts us with some powerful thoughts, and I'd like to pass some of these on to you during the next few weeks. The thoughts come from the scriptures, of course, but certainly from the brilliant insights of Dr. Peterson's book. I want to say again, he is in no way responsible for what I have done with some of these reflections. But today my theme is a time to remember and a time to anticipate. Let's pick up David right after he has become the king of Israel. He must have been doing a lot of thinking. He must have put a lot of thought into whether or not he should really accept this great but very responsible position. But here is what the Word of God says. The Lord said to David, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be their rulers." And so he always had to be looking back to see how God was blessing him. Let's take a look at this man from the time he was just a young chap. There we meet him first as a shepherd boy, way out there in the wilds, caring for the sheep. And yet he knew that God never let him down. There must have been some difficult hours out there too, when, for example, the wild animals would come. And where would the strength be? All of the frightening experiences that he could have had out there. And yet God was always with him. Then there came the time when he was selected to be the representative of Israel who would stand before the giant Goliath. And you know that story, how the little guy went out there with a slingshot. It's all he had. And here was this beast of a man with all kinds of equipment on him. And David began to fight him. And the results were that he defeated Goliath. Then he was the musician who came into the courts of Saul. When Saul was depressed, who did he call for? Here came David. And David would play his harp, and suddenly Saul's emotions would be soothed, and he would be so much better. That led him to have great prominence in this court of the mighty king, and soon he became a warrior. He was fighting the battles for Saul. Now he was so successful, and God had given him such strength and such direction in what he had to do, that the people really loved him. And soon it was that old Saul became jealous, and that tyrant of a king, who really went almost insane, wanted to kill David. So now he finds himself a fugitive in the wilderness, escaping from a jealous king for whom he had been such a faithful servant, and now the king wanted to kill him. But then the days went by, and soon he became the king of Judah, which was one of the tribes of Israel. There he labored for 7.5 years. And then finally one day, the representatives from Israel came and said, "David, we want you to be our king too." And here it was that the Lord had said to him, "You will shepherd my people Israel." So now it was his coronation day. What did David see as far as the future was concerned? He saw that God had always been with him. It was a time for him to remember, to sit back and think of all of the marvelous blessings God had given. Never once was he left alone. Could he then not also believe that in the future, his future would be blessed in the same way with God's presence? And so he labored there for 37 years until finally he was taken to be with the Lord. The Lord had done some marvelous things through David. David was not always a faithful servant. He did not always obey the laws of God. He was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. And yet the Lord would forgive him in spite of his sinful ways and would use him again and again. And so it was that it was from his lineage that God so planned it that when he sent his son into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, David was his great-great-grandfather in the flesh. So as he had a time to remember, he also had a time to anticipate on his coronation day. And this is what he found, that throughout his entire life, no matter what his status was, no matter what his responsibilities were, God had been interwoven in his life. I ask you, my friends, is that not also true for you and for me? Have you ever sat back and done a spiritual inventory of your life? What kind of a childhood was it? Were you blessed with this idea that God was always with you? Did your parents give you a secure feeling that all was well when you trusted in God? Did you have good friends and marvelous teachers? They were preparing you for a day when you would have a real place in this world of ours and you could be God's servant. God was at work, wasn't he? And then there was those adolescent years, those years where you went off to high school and there were a lot of temptations, but you knew what was right and you knew what was wrong. And you know that God's finger was upon you and everything was going to be just fine. And then perhaps if you're of a certain age, then came World War II. And there was a war on, and the people were dying by the hundreds and by the thousands on both sides, the enemy as well as our own. Maybe you're one of those who selected to go to the Air Force. And so the planes would take off at night. And when they came back, you were anxious to see if all of your buddies had returned. Some of them had not. Or you might have been in the Navy, and there were terrible times out there. For example, in the water when your ship had been sunk. Or on in the Army, crawling up through Italy in that terrible war. Or dying, having one of your friends die at Iwo Jima. They were terrible days, awful hours. And yet we knew that God was with us. You knew it, didn't you? It's an inventory now that you're taking, an inventory of those frightening, frightening days. But then by the grace of God, you were one of the fortunate ones to come home. Now it was perhaps on to college, and there you were going to get that final preparation. You might have gotten married. Now children were coming, and you raised those children, and they had a marvelous effect on your life. They brought you a lot of joys. Yeah, there were some times of concern, and you wondered if you had done things just right and if they were ever going to settle down and what life would be like with them gone from the household. But God was with you, and it was your life work. God was at work through you. You came to that final conclusion that God can use me, sinful that I am. Is he interwoven in your life? That's what I'm trying to talk about today. That there's a time when we sit back and simply reminisce, and we see how God has been there under all conditions. He's been right there with you. But there is also a time to anticipate. Now, the picture that I have drawn may not really fit into your lifestyle. And you might say, well, I wish that it had read that way. I wish that I could have said that I came from a fine Christian family, and I was raised in the faith, and I can never think of a day when I wasn't a Christian. But I have to tell you, I came from a family that wasn't too solid. In fact, we had very little to do with the church. And I drifted and drifted and drifted farther and farther away from even that which was right and wrong. But then I met a woman, and she became my wife, and she was committed to Jesus Christ, and she brought me into the faith. And there we had those joyous days, and there we continued to live. Not always easy. We've had our health problems, but God has always been with us. Or maybe your story is something like this. I started out fine. I did have that strong, secure Christian background. But then, you know, I kind of slipped away. Yeah, it could have been during World War II that I slipped away. I didn't think that I needed God anymore. And as I saw people dying round about me, I began to wonder, where is this God that I learned about in confirmation class? Where is this God of love that the preacher had so often been talking about? I became quite embittered. And when I got home, I decided no more of that church stuff for me. My mother and father shed some tears. They wondered if I would ever come back. And then when I began to see, along in my 40s, that life was so desolate, that without him there was something missing, I was converted. I became a believer in Jesus Christ. I realized that it was on the cross of Calvary that he suffered and died for my sins, and that all that I had done when I was away from him could be completely forgiven, and I could start all over again. So even those days when I was away from him, I can see now the hand of God always there, working with me, creating within me at times a guilt and saying, how long is it going to take you to come to your senses? How long is it going to be before you will return back home to your father? How long do you want to go on with this meaningless life where you have but one basic goal in life, and that is to satisfy all of your cravings and all of your appetites? And so you came back. Or maybe some of you are still out there. You're in that time when you won't let God really have a place in your life. And he's calling you today because he wants to be interwoven in your life. He wants to be a part of it. So he calls on you. Even through this radio program, he calls on you to come back to him. Well, that's some of our reminiscing. And then there's that time of anticipation. What is before us? And those of us who trust God's love in Jesus Christ, knowing that we are his, can face the future with all kinds of assurance. The God who has promised to be with us has been with us. He has shown us this, and he has promised to be with us for the rest of our days. I'm of an age now where I know that many of the peers are dying. And as we visit together on the golf course or wherever it may be, we stop and think sometimes that it's just a little bit disheartening. We're having to say goodbye to too many of those we love. And it won't be long before we'll have to go too. But we know this, that the God who was with us when we were young, the God who was with us when we were raising that family, the God who was with us when we had those wonderful times and he rejoiced with us, is a God who's going with us right to the very end. And if it means that there will be some time of illness, if it means there will be some time of disorientation, perhaps, and because of long life, we'll be like one of those who entered into some kind of a dementia area of the home for the aged, God will be with us. He's going to sustain us. He's going to love us. He's going to provide for us. Think of what he has done through the efforts of other people in providing for us in these marvelous places where we can spend our last days. Friend, is God, can you see God interwoven in your life? I would urge you to take a paper and pencil and to sit down. Sit down this week. If you got time, sit down, and most of us do have time, and reminisce with yourself and with God. Go over all of the wonderful things that you have experienced. And when they weren't so easy, how he stood right there with you. And then on the other side of the paper, put down your anticipation for the future. It isn't going to be that bad. In fact, the future, even if you're an old person, and I am one of those old people now, it isn't bad to anticipate the future, because you know that his grace is always going to be sufficient for us. God is in the story of your life. What part have you permitted him to play? That's what should be of concern to us, no matter how old we are at this time. Just remember, he wants to play the part of forgiving you if you trust Jesus as your Savior. He wants to play the part of being your guide, directing you. He wants to play the part of being your strength to move on. None has put it better in a simple way in a beautiful song than John Ilvesacker in that famous hymn, Morning Cry. Listen as he takes you from the cradle to the grave. Amen.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. When you closes in. just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see.
Father in heaven, receive our thanks for walking with us every step of the way. Thank you also for giving us the assurance that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, will you be with us as a nation? Will you be with us as we seek to do what is your will? Grant, O God, where we might have sinned, that you will forgive us, but that you will strengthen us and move us in the right direction of telling the message of Jesus Christ through word and deed to those round about us. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Currently, half of what we spend annually is from estate gifts. Please consider final gifts to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is here to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hundreds of sermons are available to be read or printed out for a friend. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. The daily devotional, Our Daily Bread, is also available on our website. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.